1 Samuel 15, please. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. We'd like you to consider with us. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being a king. I'd like you to think of the question just at the beginning of our study this morning. What word would best sum up your Christian life? Just consider that. What one word would best sum up your walk with God at this point in time, where you are with the Lord right now? If you think of some well-known persons in the Scriptures, you think of Caleb, the word surrendered would sum up his life. The Bible says he was wholly followed the Lord. You think of Barnabas, the word encourager would sum up his life. He was the son of consolation, the New Testament tells us, or the son of exhortation. Think of Ananias and Sapphira, the word liars would sum up their lives. The book of Acts tells us they lied to the Holy Ghost. Think of Jonah. We studied his life at length through the winter. The word runaway would sum up the life of Jonah. He fled from the presence of the Lord. Just some examples. You think of yourself. What word sums up your Christian life? Well, as we think of King Saul, the word that sums him up, especially in the latter part of his life, is the word disobedience. You look there at the middle of verse 11. It says, and hath not performed my commandments. Hath not performed my commandments. Look also at verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? You see, the word disobedient sums up Saul's actions and sums up Saul's conduct. He was disobedient to the word of God. The Lord had commanded him, given him a very clear, very specific command to completely and utterly destroy all of the Amalekites, including their livestock. The command is found right at the very beginning of the chapter. If you look there at the words of verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. The Lord had commanded him. Commanded him to completely and utterly destroy the Amalekites. But he didn't. He didn't listen to God's word. He didn't do what God had told him. Disobedience to God's word sums up Saul's life. And we're going to look for a little while this morning at Saul's disobedience. And as we do, brethren and sisters, I want you to ask, are you like Saul? Is there some command or some commands in the Scriptures that you're still disobeying? We're going to think of his disobedience. And the title that sums it all up is this: The Disaster of Disobedience. And you'll see before we're finished today, in the will of God, the disaster that happened in his life as the result of being disobedient to the word of God. I want you to notice, first of all, the character of disobedience. Look there at verse 23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, said, the greatest mission in the world is submission. submission to God's word and submission to God's will. But the sad thing is that Saul wasn't a submissive man. Note the two words that are used here to describe him and his conduct, rebellion and stubbornness. They reveal the character of Saul. And they reveal, brethren and sisters, the character of every disobedient person. You think of the word rebellion. It's not a strong word, strong language. And the reality is, if you disobey God, you're a rebel to God and his will. If someone had a disobedient child, often it's said that child's rebellious. Well, that's exactly what a disobedient child of God is. It's stated here clearly. A disobedient child of God is rebellious too. But disobedience is also characterized by stubbornness. A person that's stubborn, they're determined. They're determined not to change, not to listen, not to do what they're asked. There's the old expression, as stubborn as a mule. And the picture is, the mule won't move. Doesn't matter what's done, even if it's pushed, beaten, shouted at, the tail twisted. Doesn't matter what you do, the mule won't budge. And that's what a stubborn Christian is like. They're not going to move for anything, not even for the command of God himself. The psalmist said, he gave this warning, this challenge to God's people. He said, be not as the horse or the mule. Is that how you've been living, how you've been acting? Be not as the horse or the mule. In other words, he's saying, don't be stubborn in the way that you live. Remember, the Bible's like a mirror. Look into the mirror today, brethren and sisters. Look into the mirror of the word. And as you do, you may see yourself. And what you see may not be a pretty sight. But the reality is, if you're a disobedient Christian, then this is how you look. Your character is one of rebellion and stubbornness. The character of disobedience. Notice the second place, the comparison of disobedience. What is disobedience compared with in these verses of Scripture? Verse 23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Disobedience, brethren and sisters, is compared particularly with two things, witchcraft and idolatry. Now just take that in. Take time to consider it and let it register. Remember that in the Bible, witchcraft and idolatry, they receive the severest condemnation. They're described in the Scriptures as abominable sin. And the message here is that disobedience, let me underline it for you, disobedience is a serious thing. Disobedience to God. It's a wicked sin, brethren and sisters. Often, we disobey God as if it was a small thing, a light thing, nothing to be really thought about. It doesn't really matter. You never give it a thought. But God wants you to understand, and the way he speaks of it here, God wants you to understand how hellish, how heinous, how black, how dark the sin of disobedience really is. Saul was made to see how great his guilt was in the way it acted. And if you're a disobedient child of God, the Lord wants you to see the same as you're gathered in the meeting this morning. J. Wilbur Chapman, the American evangelist, he knew a minister, and the minister preached plainly on the subject of sin. He called it that abominable thing that God hates. Didn't always go down well in the congregation. One member in particular said to him, don't use those ugly words when you're describing sin. Call it an error. Call it an oversight. Call it a fault. Call it a mistake. He was putting pressure on the minister to water down his message. The minister took a bottle of poison from the cupboard and he showed it to this member of the church. And he said, would you want me to put a label on this wintergreen? You see, men and women, the more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose becomes. And the message of that minister to his member was, describe sin in the right way. Use the right words, the right terms. Leave people in no doubt of how God views it. Leave people in absolutely no doubt of how awful it is. And that, men and women, is what God does here in the words that he uses. He leaves you without the shadow of a doubt of how wicked your disobedience to his word really is. The comparison. I want you to see in the third place something of the covering of disobedience. You see, Saul went to great lengths to cover his disobedience. One thing he did was to tell blatant and deliberate lies. You see what he says in verse 13? He says to Samuel, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You see how blatant a lie that is? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. The fact is, the only person he was fooling was himself. He must have thought that Samuel was blind, deaf, and stupid, because the evidence, the clear evidence, that he had not obeyed God was to be seen all around. Samuel said in reply, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You see, Samuel could hear the animals that Saul had brought back, but they ought to have been put to death by the commandment of the Lord. So it was clear that Saul was lying to the prophet and lying to God, which is more serious still. Remember, men and women, lying is a serious thing. The book of Proverbs reminds us, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. You think of Ananias and Sapphira, we mentioned them earlier. They lied in order to cover their sin, and the Lord cut them off. The Lord took them home. You see, lying is a very serious thing. Saul wanted to cover his disobedience. I wonder, is that what you have been doing? Trying to cover your sins? Remember, there's no blessing in that course of action. Solomon said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You'll not prosper, men and women. It does no good to try to hide your sins. Adam tried it in Eden with fig leaves, and man has been trying to cover his sin ever since. You know, there's only one thing that you should cover your sins with, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What you should do with your disobedience is confess it, not cover it. James said, confess your faults one to another. And I urge you to do that, brethren and sisters. John said those words I began to quote a moment ago, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What you should do with your disobedience is confess it. And that is what I urge you to do in the meeting today, brethren and sisters. Because of disobedience, look at verse 24 of the chapter. The verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. And look at what he says, because, here's the reason, here's the cause of it. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He did what the people said, but he didn't do what God said. Why did Saul disobey God? Because of the fear of the people. He didn't want to do something that he thought would be unpopular with the people. Saul was a man pleaser. He lived his life to please men. He was concerned about public opinion, and he had a greater fear of the men of Israel than he had of the God of heaven. I wonder, is it the same with you? Are you not willing to obey God to do his will, to do what he says, because you're afraid. You're afraid of what the people would say. You're afraid of what your friends, your family might say, or what they might think. You're afraid that they might laugh at you. Remember, the scripture speaks of two fears. There's the fear of man that brings a snare. That's what gets you into bondage. That's what causes you to do the things that are wrong in God's sight. And that's what Saul had, the fear of man. The other fear that the Bible speaks of is the fear of the Lord. And the scriptures teach that is the beginning of knowledge. Can I ask you, men and women, brethren and sisters, which do you have today? Which controls and dominates your life? The fear of man, or the fear, that awe, that reverence of the Lord himself? Mr. Gladstone, the great Liberal Prime Minister of the 19th century, on his last visit to Oxford, he sat with some of the students for a long time. They asked him many questions, and he was portraying a very positive, a very upbeat message with regard to the improvements and the changes that he had seen in the British way of life during his lifetime and during his time in political office. It brought a challenge from one of the students. The student asked, "Is there nothing that worries you? You're speaking so positively. Is there nothing that worries you? Nothing that concerns you with regard to your outlook on the British nation and the way of life?" He said, "There's one thing that concerns me greatly, and it's this. The fear of God is dying out among the people." What would Mr. Gladstone think or say if he was here today, well over 100 years later, if he thought it was dying out in his day? Where is it not today, brethren and sisters? The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. When Duncan Campbell arrived in the Isle of Lewis, an old elder asked him the question, "Are you walking with God?" That's a good question to ask every Christian today. Are you walking with God? Duncan Campbell answered, "I believe I can say that I fear God." And that's a good answer, men and women. The sad thing is that Saul didn't fear God. If he had feared the Lord, he would have obeyed his voice. He would have done what he said. You see, the reality, men and women, is this. He who fears God fears no one else. You're not afraid. You're not worried then of what others might think or what others may say because of his disobedience. The final thing is the consequence of his disobedience. Look there at the middle of verse 23 of the chapter. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." There were serious consequences for Saul for disobeying God. He lost out. He lost many of the blessings, many of the privileges that had been his experience. For one thing, he lost his character. He was now a liar and a deceiver. He lost his companion, his friend. Verse 35 says, "Samuel came no more to see Saul." Think of the difference that would have made in his life. Samuel was the man that had anointed him, the man that had prayed for him, the man that had taught him and instructed him and influenced him. But he lost that companionship. He lost that help. And as well as that, men and women, he lost the crown. You see what great losses this man incurred because of the course that he took. And it's always the same, brethren and sisters. Remember, sin is a robber. It never prospers to disobey God. Adam disobeyed and he lost his holiness and he lost Eden. Israel disobeyed God and they lost the land. The Lord carried them off into captivity. Samson disobeyed and he lost his eyes. He lost his strength. And at last he lost his liberty too. Ended his days in a Philistine prison. Lot disobeyed God. Think of all that Lot lost. His wife, his children, and his home. You see, men and women, the warning, you always lose. You're always the loser by disobeying God's will. The book of the Revelation says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If you're truly saved today, you can't lose your salvation. The Bible says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your reward. You can lose your crown. Isn't that what that verse says? That no man take thy crown. Saul lost his crown on earth. But the more solemn truth is, he lost his crown in heaven too. And I ask men and women, will that be the same for you? Will this be the solemn, the serious, the sad consequence of your disobedience to God, to his word, and to his will? I'll say this to you in closing. Always remember, there are two Sauls in the scripture. There's one in the Old Testament and one in the New. And both are from the tribe of Benjamin. The Saul of Tarsus, he was different from the Saul who was the first king of Israel. The Saul who was the first king of Israel stood out for his physical stature, but Saul of Tarsus stood out for his spiritual stature. Do you remember Saul, the first king, was head and shoulders above everyone else? Well, that's how we would have to describe Saul of Tarsus spiritually. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. The Bible says of Saul of Tarsus, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And men and women, as you think of those two men, both with the same name, both from the same tribe, can I ask you, which are you like today? Are you like Saul, that first king of the great nation of Israel, a man whose life was marked by disobedience, a man who experienced the disaster of a disobedient life? Or are you like Saul of Tarsus, living for the Lord, not disobedient to the heavenly vision? You see, the lesson of King Saul's life is this, men and women. The lesson and the warning that it sounds out, at all costs, whatever it costs you, whatever it takes, at all costs, obey God. Obey his command. Do what he asks. As Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, whatsoever he saith, whatever it is, mightn't be the thing you want him to say, but whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Obey his voice. May the Lord burn the words of that 22nd verse into your heart today. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. May the Lord use his word. May he speak to all our hearts through it this day for the Saviour's sake. 437, please.